We're going to have a quick class on Tu Bishvat. The Mishnah in Tractate Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of the Masechet, the Mishnah says, Arba Rashei Shanim Hem. We have four beginnings of the year. We know that our year, when our year begins and when our year ends, is relevant to the contracts we write. I need to know what year to write in a contract. It's relevant to Shemitah. I need to know when Shemitah begins and ends. It's relevant to Trumot and Masrot. I have to give tithes. I have to give the Levite. I have to give the Kohen. Well, I know that on the third year and the sixth year, I give Maaser Ani. I give a tithe to the poor. On the first, second, fourth, and fifth year, I give Maaser Sheni. I take a tithe up to Jerusalem. So it's relevant for me to know what year the fruits are from and the vegetables. And I also need to know, because I cannot take Trumot and Maasrot from this year on last year's food. Meaning if I, let's take a vegetable, okay? I have an imaginary tomato patch, okay? I have tomatoes growing in my garden. Wonderful. I come to my tomatoes on 29th of Elul, the end of Tavshinayin Zayin, and I start picking tomatoes, okay? Those tomatoes, I have to take off on them, I have to take off Maaser Sheni, because Tavshinayin Zayin was a year of Maaser Sheni, it was the second year of the Shemitah cycle. Okay, I show up a few days after Rosh Hashanah, and now I pick more vegetables. So now these new vegetables are from year number three. By vegetables, we say the year when the vegetables are picked, that's what defines what year they're considered obligated in Trumot and Masrot. So now the vegetables I pick from the third day of Tishrei, I cannot tithe them on the vegetables I picked before Rosh Hashanah. Right? 4 days difference. I go by when I pick them. That's with vegetables. What about fruits? How do I know which year fruits belong to? So there we have different rules, but the general rule, depending on the fruit, but the general rule is we go after Chanata. When a fruit reaches a third of its growth, so then I consider that fruit to have reached a benchmark, it's crossed a certain threshold in its growth. So if I have fruits that reached Chanata today, those fruits are still considered from the second year. When will it become the third year for the fruit trees? Tomorrow night, Tu Bishvat. Tomorrow night is Tu Bishvat. At Tu Bishvat, we say the year begins for the fruits. So fruits that will reach a third of their growth from tomorrow night onward, those fruits are considered the third year's fruits, and so they will have to be given Maaser Ani all the way until next year's Tu Bishvat. So the year of the fruit goes by Tu Bishvat. The year of the vegetable and other things goes by Rosh Hashanah. Now this is fruit-bearing trees, right? What is about Tu Bishvat? So the Gemara explains that by Tu Bishvat we assume that most of the rains of this year have fallen. And by Tu Bishvat, Rashi and Tosfos explain, the sap of the tree has already moved. And so whatever sweetness the fruits are going to get is from the rains up to Tu Bishvat. Those rains affect the sap in the tree that move and make the fruits finish blossoming and growing and becoming sweet. Whatever it will rain after Tu Bishvat will already affect next year's fruits. It won't affect this year's fruits. Any rains up to Tu Bishvat, so they affect the sap that'll move and make these fruits that have reached a third of their growth, it'll make them sweet. So we say the cutoff point for fruit-bearing trees is Tu Bishvat. Whatever reaches Chanata up until tomorrow night, whatever reaches a third of its growth, that's considered last year's fruit. It's still the second year's fruit. When does the third year of the Shemitah cycle begin for fruit-bearing trees? Tomorrow night. From tomorrow night, we start a new year for the fruit-bearing trees. And we say, let's pay attention, which fruits will reach Chanata at this point. There is a fruit you guys will see is one of the first fruits to ripen. It is called a shesek. It looks like an apricot, but it isn't. They have trees of that growing wild here in Kiryat Moshe. It's called shesek. It's a very common fruit tree in Israel. It has this orange small fruit, similar to an apricot. I don't know what its English name is. You guys can do a Google search. Loquat? Okay. So loquats, if that's what they're called, they reach a third of their growth now, in this month. So it's very hard to tell on a loquat fruit on a tree which are the fruits that reached a third before Tu B'Shvat and which reach after Tu B'Shvat. But that's what we go by. We go by Tu B'Shvat. The year begins for the fruit-bearing trees on Tu B'Shvat. So that is the halachic relevance of Tu B'Shvat. The fruit trees, their years begin and end on Tu B'Shvat. There are other halachot in terms of Neta Revai. There are other halachot where we say, okay, where does my year begin and end? You know, the fourth year of a fruit-bearing tree, the fruits are holy. You have to eat them in Jerusalem. Right? The first 3 years, you're not allowed to eat the fruit. On the fourth year, you take the fruit up and eat it in Jerusalem. Right? That's called Arla and then Neta Revai. So, with regards to Neta Revai, we say, let's say, grapes. I have a grapevine grown. So, still today, I can't eat the grapes of the fourth year. I have to eat them in Jerusalem. Oh, I'm not holy. I can't eat them in Jerusalem. Okay, so I redeem them, but I have to redeem them. When does the fourth year end? On Tu B'Shvat. Tu B'Shvat is the end of the fourth year of a fruit-bearing tree having its holiness. Okay, the Tu B'Shvat of the fourth year. Okay, so this is the halachic relevance of Tu B'Shvat. It's the beginning and end of the year for fruit trees. Yeah. I don't think so. On the contrary, I think that's one of the things we rely on, that we assume most fruit are not orla, because most trees don't bear fruit the first 3 years they're planted. So it's not so common that we find orla on our trees. Okay, now there are all kinds of customs around Tu B'Shvat. On Tu B'Shvat, we don't say tachnon. We treat it like a mini holiday. And other than that, we go to work and it's a regular work day. Ah, in Israel, so the Keren Kayemet Israel takes out all the elementary schools that want to join and they plant trees. Okay, very nice. That's not from the Torah. It's a good thing to plant trees and it's a very good thing to plant trees in Israel. In Machon Meir, we go on a field trip. Very nice. That's also not written in the Torah. Machon Meir is important, but it doesn't date back to the Torah. So then the Kabbalists, they developed what's called Seder Tu B'Shvat, where people on Tu B'Shvat by night, usually, they make blessings on the different fruits, and then you could say Midrashim about the different fruits. So they very often will begin with red wine and then go on to white wine and then eat grapes and then eat all the different fruits of the land of Israel and whatever other fruits they can buy in the market. Okay, it's a nice custom. If you go, so then they give nice Divrei Torah with it. Did our forefathers do it? Probably not. I think it was a custom that the Kabbalists developed, and most of Israel did not do it, as far as I know. Lately, it's become like a big thing. People like to do it. Okay, so you can do it.
Generations already do it. Halacha.
Okay. What my forefathers did, the Yekish custom was, that on Tu B'Shvat, they would try to buy 15 different types of fruits, if they could. I don't know where they got in Germany 15 different types of fruits. But if they could, I guess you could get a raisin, and you could get a cashew, and you could get an almond, and you could get, I guess there were some fruits they could get. And before eating each fruit, they would say a shir amalos. There are 15 shir amalos, so they would say a shir amalos. So that was the Yekish custom on Tu B'Shvat, to sit down for 20 minutes of eating fruits. And this is to arouse within us the love of the land of Israel, to realize that what we don't have, so that we won't forget the land of Israel. So people would try to get a date from Israel or some fruit from Israel. But bottom line, there's no real mitzvah around Tu B'Shvat. Tu B'Shvat is a date which makes a difference halachically for our fruit trees. All the other things are customs that evolved, and most people don't really have a tradition to do any of this. If you want to join us, Seder Tu B'Shvat, it's a nice thing to do. Just don't get confused with the Leila Seder on Pesach night, which is biblical. This isn't even rabbinic. Meaning this is something which, it's a nice thing to do, but that's the extent of it. I'm not coming to mock it. I'm just saying people sometimes hear the same word Seder, so it takes on this great weight by them. It's not. It's something which I don't think many people did 20, 30 years ago. It became popular in the last decade. People do Seder Tu B'Shvat. So, okay. To do Seder Tu B'Shvat, it's fine. What? It's always good to get together and eat fruits and speak about the land of Israel and the Midrashim about the fruits. Very nice. Okay, so we'll take questions in 1 minute. A few things to pay attention to. Which fruits do we eat the peels? Which fruits don't we eat the peels? Which fruits do we eat the pits? Which fruits don't we eat the pits? Which fruits do we do manufacturing to? Like we take grapes, we make them into wine. We take dates, we make them into honey. Which fruits undergo processing and which fruits are eaten naturally? Which fruits are compared to the people of Israel? Right, the people of Israel are compared to egos. Right, the people of Israel are compared to Tamar, Tzadika Tamar Yifrach. The people of Israel are compared to Anavim, a vineyard. The people of Israel are compared to Tamarim. The people of Israel are compared to I don't know in the Torah where. The people of Israel are compared to a pomegranate, right? That were filled with mitzvahs like a pomegranate. So these are midrashim that we often mention as we go through the different fruits. Okay, so we had a quick overview.